Alleluia, Christ is risen. A very happy Easter Monday to you and your loved ones. But Easter Monday is still Monday Punday here on The Inner Life. So, did you do some feasting with loved ones yesterday? Maybe you had some special foods. For instance, have you ever had resurrection rolls? Well, the recipe is easy. The annoying part is waiting the 3 days for them to rise.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Welcome to The Inner Life. I'm Patrick Conley, and it's good to be back with you in this Easter season. Thanks again for joining us on the show that's all about spiritual direction and helping you live out your Catholic faith better each day. And just a reminder, if you do have a pun to share with me for air on Monday Punday, send it to me along with your name, city, and home parish by clicking on the link at relevantradio.com/innerlife. Well, Christ is indeed risen. After participating in the beautiful liturgies of the Paschal Triduum, my wife and I went to her aunt and uncle's place for an Easter feast with family. It was a great time, filled with catching up with one another, a good deal of laughter, and the excitement of little ones searching for Easter baskets. Well, on the whole, the folks I know celebrate Easter well, with some great family traditions, from multicolored Easter eggs to resplendent feasting to gift exchanges. Easter Sunday is, for many, a great reason to gather, both at church and at home, for celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. But in the liturgical life of the church, we take each of these first 8 days of the Easter season as Easter Sunday itself. And it can be difficult to factor in continued celebration when most of us return to the routine of everyday life today on Easter Monday. And then the Easter season goes for a full 50 days up to Pentecost, even longer than the season of Lent. So, how do you keep the spirit of celebration about you during the Easter octave and the Easter season? What are ways that you can continue to rejoice in the inestimable gift of Jesus' resurrection while you're at work or while you're at school or while you're grocery shopping or looking after the kids? Well, today on the program, we're talking about celebrating the resurrection, even living the resurrection, and how you can do it well through the Easter season and beyond. Joining us as our spiritual director today is Father James Kubicki. Father Kubicki is a spiritual director at St. Francis de Sales Seminary in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. He gives retreats and missions around the country, and of course, his prayer reflections can be heard throughout the day right here on Relevant Radio. Father Kubicki, happy Easter to you. Thanks for being with us again.
Happy Easter to you too, Patrick, and all our listeners. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. It's wonderful to be talking to you on this first day of the Easter octave, the 8 days that we celebrate following Easter Sunday itself, to remind us how important this feast is to our faith.
It is. It's so centrally important. And I think, Father, that's a great place to begin right there. What does Jesus' resurrection mean for us, mean for all of humanity?
Well, you know, St. Paul put it very well in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. It's a long chapter. And in there, he basically says that if we do not believe that Christ is risen from the dead, then we are the sorriest people of all. That our belief in Jesus, if it's only that he was a good teacher and that if we all just followed his teaching, that would be fine, that we would be the sorriest people of all. And I think what he's saying there is our belief in the resurrection is more than simply the belief that Jesus rose from the dead, but the power behind that resurrection is at active and present in our lives. So it's a kind of opening ourselves up. If we just believed in what Jesus taught about love your neighbor, love one another, we would not have the power to be able to do that. But it's through the resurrection and the presence of the resurrected Christ in the sacraments that we now have the power to follow the teaching of Jesus. And that's why I think St. Paul said that without the resurrection and its power, we would be the sorriest people of all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does. It hinges on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, of course. And I'm trying to put myself in the mindset of many who maybe only attend Mass at high holy days like Easter and Christmas and times like that, Father. And Maybe is there? I mean, is there a way to impress this message? The unfathomable hope that is given to us in the resurrection. Is there a way to express this? I mean, I would imagine, like yourself, and trying to preach an Easter homily to folks like this, it presents a bit of a challenge.
You know, it does. And I think it's because we live in a world that is still under the burden of sin. You know, it's the darkness. And so people don't realize the power of our faith and the power of the sacraments. And so there's almost a sense of, I think it's been the term that's been used is a sort of spiritual anorexia, that many people are not aware that they are starving spiritually. And that's because they're going through life with their eyes focused simply on this life and not on the next life and not on the hope and power that the resurrection of Jesus gives us. Again, you know, people think of the sacraments or the Mass simply as, oh, kind of a communal event. We come together, we hear the readings, we shake hands, we do all these things, but they don't realize that there's a great power at work in the Holy Eucharist and in all of the sacraments. And that's where I think our bishops, you know, have called for this Eucharistic revival, that we really revive our belief. And if we open ourselves up to the power that is there in the sacraments, we will see changes in our own life, in our own attitudes, and hopefully, you know, those will begin to affect greater changes in our world as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I like what you mentioned there about still on being under the darkness, the shroud of sin that we live in as this broken world. And I think one of the things that has done to us is that in some ways the resurrection it's lost its wow factor. I mean, we've heard it maybe so many times, and this is for those of us who attend Mass as often as possible, to those who attend, as I said, maybe only on certain days, and even the wider society that never attends church or attends Mass, that there's still just kind of this, oh yeah, Jesus rose from the dead, you know. But Jesus rose from the dead is what I want to say.
Right. I love the way you put it, Patrick. We've lost the wow factor. And again, you know, to relate that to the Holy Eucharist, that's something that Pope St. John Paul wanted for the church when he wrote an encyclical about the Eucharist, when he called for the year of the Eucharist. He used the word Eucharistic amazement, you know, that we would never take for granted the gift of the Lord. And Pope Francis is continuing that. He has talked about the same sense of wonder and amazement, astonishment that we should have every time we approach the Holy Eucharist, but especially, you know, when we consider the resurrection of Jesus. And as you put it, you know, we hear the story every year, we've grown up with it, and we can tend to lose that freshness, that wow factor. And this is where, you know, St. Ignatius Loyola, I think, is very helpful in his spiritual exercises, where he invites people praying with the events of Jesus to imagine themselves in the scene. And so we're not just thinking about the gospel stories, but we're trying to enter into them on a deeper, heartfelt level and to imagine ourselves with Mary experiencing sorrow, but then meeting Jesus on the road, and what that must have been like to put yourself in her place and imagine what she felt when she met Jesus on the road.
Right. Yeah, I would be. Sometimes I like to tell the religion students that I work with, okay, now I want you to imagine yourself at a funeral. And what if right in the midst of that funeral, the coffin opened and the person just sat up? I mean, that seems to me like we kind of re-encounter the wow factor of resurrection in a situation like that anyway.
Well, yeah, and it reminds me very much of today's gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, where it says Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went quickly away from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed. So I would imagine if the coffin opened up and the person in the coffin got up out of the coffin, there would be fear. Is this a ghost? Is what's going on here? And then the joy that follows is to realize, no, this is not a ghost. And that's what the apostles experienced in the appearances of Jesus to them, that, you know, he showed them his wounds. He said, here, touch me. Do you have anything here to eat? And he proved to them that he was not a ghost, but that he was risen from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Our spiritual director today is Father James Kubicki. We're talking about celebrating the resurrection, living the resurrection throughout all of these days of the Easter season and beyond. So how do you celebrate the resurrection? What are things that you do throughout the year to celebrate that Jesus is truly risen from the dead? And maybe how do you make Sundays, particularly throughout the year, a time of celebration for your family? How do you set them apart in honoring Jesus' resurrection? Give us a call and join the conversation. Our number here at The Inner Life is 888-914-9149. That toll-free studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. And the number again is 888-914-9149. Let us know how you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Or you can send us an email as well, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Father, you mentioned the Eucharist a few times there, as just in our opening discussion, and I think that that is one of the primary ways, is it not, that we understand. Now, we understand that we are receiving, when we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that is actually his resurrected self that we are receiving, correct?
That's correct. Yes, we're receiving him because it would be impossible to receive him before the resurrection, as it were. I mean, right. At the Last Supper, he says, this is my body, this is my blood, anticipating what he would do on the cross and then with his resurrection. But we believe that every Mass is a celebration of the Paschal mystery. And that's a word that we throw around, Paschal mystery and expression. It basically refers to the suffering, death, and then resurrection of Jesus. So with every Mass, we're celebrating not only the holy sacrifice of himself, him offering himself on the cross, making that present to us, but also making present to us his resurrection, and then giving himself to us, his resurrected body, himself, so that we could be one with him forever. And that's, again, where I think it's so important for us to renew our belief and to approach each celebration of the Eucharist aware that there's an ocean of grace that the Lord wants to give us, but we need to be receptive to it. We need to open our hearts to receive that grace. And if we do, we believe it's the same power of the resurrection that brought Jesus' dead body back to life, that this power will also be at work in our lives, helping us overcome sin and helping us to live the life that Jesus invited us to live and showed us how to live.
Yeah, and I think that there's something just intriguing about that in the way that the liturgical calendar is set up, that throughout this Easter season, that the Easter season culminates in exactly what you were just saying, Father, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles in the upper room, right, at Pentecost, that that is the culmination of this whole celebration of resurrection, is that we then become participants in the resurrection that Jesus opened up for us.
That's right. You know, I love the way Pope Francis put this. This was in his apostolic exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel. So this goes back to 2013. And he said, faith is more than just believing in God. It means also believing that God truly loves us and that he is alive and mysteriously capable of intervening in the events of our life, even those events that to us seem hopeless and that discourage us. The power of the resurrection, Jesus wants to be present even in those moments of our lives. Pope Francis, in his homily and also in his message to the city of Rome and to the world, talked about how often we allow stones to close up the tomb in our lives. And so we let grief or discouragement or hopelessness be a stone that prevents hope and joy from entering our lives. And so he says, we have to allow the Lord to roll away those stones in our own lives in order for his hope and joy to reach us.
Yeah, you're already anticipating my next question, Father, which was precisely that. I mean, entering into the beautiful liturgies of the Triduum, and Good Friday is always so meaningful to me as I, ponder that Jesus is there dying on the cross for my sins, you know, not just for the sins of the world, which is, of course, true, but there's a personal element to it as well, that he's dying for my sins as well. And sometimes I think we can get caught up in our sin, our sinfulness, our sinful tendencies, especially as we're contemplating and meditating upon the cross. So, but now we're invited to have joy and celebrate, but maybe that's difficult if we're too caught up in, yeah, but he suffered so much for me. If we place ourselves right in that position of putting Jesus on the cross, how is that even possible? How can we turn that mourning into joy?
Well, and I think it's important for us to realize, okay, it was sin that put Jesus on the cross, and he took those sins into himself. But then, you know, one of the things that Pope Francis said in his Easter homily was one of the stones in our lives. He used the expression self-absorption. So the problem is we can look at ourselves and admit our sinfulness, but we shouldn't become absorbed in our sinfulness. We should turn our focus then away from ourselves to our Savior and to realize, okay, my sins were what nailed him to the cross, but look at him. He is on the cross taking my sin away and calling me to receive the new life, forgiveness of sins. We renewed our baptismal promises this weekend by basically rejecting Satan and his empty pomps. And the thing is, I think, you know, to turn away from ourselves and look at our Savior and the joy that he wants us to share. He doesn't want us to become self-absorbed, to use that as a stone where we remain behind in darkness and in right. a tomb, but we need to break out into the light and share the joy that he wants for all of us.
I think that's a great reminder that it does have something to do with perspective, that if we get too caught up in our own sins, then we fail to, because, you know, if Jesus had died and remained in the tomb, then we're still in our sins, right? That's what St. Paul tells us, that it is the resurrection of Christ from the dead that does away with our sins, that actually brings us into, it's the doorway into this new life. And new life, I would imagine that we would all say, new life that begins not when we die on this earth, but it begins right now, that there is a new life that Jesus has come to bring us right now, yeah?
Well, and that's our belief. You know, when we read St. Paul, as we did at the vigil, where he says, through baptism, we have died with Christ. We've shared in his death. And through baptism, we've risen to a new life. Yes, our bodies need to raise to a new life at the end of time, the resurrection from the dead. But even now, this new life has been poured into us so that we have, you could say, a new spiritual life. That while the body wastes away, as St. Paul says, our spirits grow stronger and stronger, and we have a stronger hope, the assurance that we will not have the end of our story with death, that even our immortal souls will continue in existence, but they're not meant to be just spirits floating around in space. We're meant to be resurrected bodies with our spirits and our souls, our bodies together. And that's the great hope we have. So, you know, a lot of different religions, the Greek philosophy, they believed in the immortality of the soul, but they saw the body as a dirty dust matter. And so they laughed at St. Paul when he said Christ rose from the dead. And our belief is that matter, the body, the creation, is not evil, as the Greek philosophers thought. Or we don't think that our bodies, our spirits, as it were, would be reincarnated and we're going to go from one body to another. No, we have this body we have today, and it has the promise of being raised up, reunited with our souls in the resurrection from the dead. And being with God forever in heaven. So, you know, there's a great hope that we have that can help us through those difficult times in life.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly right. And we are talking about that today here on the show. How can we live out that hope in our words and in our deeds here during the Easter season especially, but even beyond that as followers after our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? We're talking about celebrating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. If you have ideas about how you celebrate the resurrection and keep the spirit of the resurrection about you throughout this Easter season and beyond, give us a call and join the conversation. Help us all out by encouraging and inspiring others. 888-914-9149 is our phone number. Again, 888-914-9149, or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We'll be back with more of the conversation with our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, coming up right after this short break. Don't go away. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Welcome back to The Inner Life here in this Easter Monday. So grateful that you could join us here on Relevant Radio on relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. If you haven't clicked over to relevantradio.com recently, why don't you check it out, because there's a great interview, a video interview with Cale Clark. And welcome to one of the newest Catholics. You can join Cale Clark for a special Easter Vigil video interview with Tammy Peterson, the wife of Dr. Jordan Peterson, who is also on the interview as well. So check that out at relevantradio.com. We are talking today about ways to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, and not just on Easter Sunday, but throughout the Easter season. But if you do have ways that you celebrated Easter yesterday, maybe it was time together with family and friends, maybe there's special things that you do each Easter, give us a call and let us know how you celebrate the resurrection at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Well, Father Kubicki, we've been talking about specifically hope a lot. We've mentioned that, and that obviously it's the birth of our hope is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But hope can sometimes be misconstrued or misunderstood as, you know, just this feeling. But I think it's more than that, is it not?
Oh, that's right, yes. A lot of times hope gets confused with wishful thinking. You know, yeah. So a person might say, well, I hope it's going to be sunny so I can go golfing, or I hope, things that we have no control over, we talk about hoping. But I think of hope more like it's an active virtue. So someone might say, well, I hope I pass the test that I'm about to take. Well, in that case, your hope has to be put into practice. It has to involve some discipline. You have to work and study in order to pass the test. And I think of hope as that. It's not just wishful thinking, but it involves something on our part. Like any of the virtues, it's like a spiritual muscle that needs to be exercised. And so, especially in those circumstances of our lives where we've lost a loved one and we've prayed for somebody with cancer, hoping that they would be healed, and they die. And then the question is, do we lose hope then? And that's where hope is stronger than simply things will get better, but it involves our putting our faith and trust in God and saying, okay, God, you see the bigger picture. What I was praying for did not happen, but I submit myself to your will, and I trust that you see the bigger picture and know better than I. And that's where hope is not just that things will be fine in this life, but the hope is that we are headed in the right direction toward eternal life. And our hope in the resurrection is, you know, not only that, as we said before, you know, Jesus taught us some good lessons about living. His major lesson was when he pointed us with the direction, with the resurrection in the direction of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's one of the astounding things about the resurrection is that, we can be filled with despair if this life is all there is. But as St. Paul again tells us that, well, yeah, if Jesus is truly risen, then there is good reason for hope as well. Let's take a phone call, Father. We've got Nelson who's calling in from Miami, Florida. Nelson, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, and thank you. I just wanted to make the comment that based on the past Lent season, I came to the realization, and it's like why not continue with the penance? Like, for example, in my case, it was okay. I'm going to cut off social media for this amount of time, and then I'm going to still fast, and I'm going to do whatever it is that I need to do, you know, for my betterness, you know, and then. It just comes about right after the fact. I'm like, oh, let me go back into it. I'm like, no, wait a minute. If I'm doing so good and I feel so clear and I feel so blessed and I feel so detoxed, let's continue with this. Mm-hmm. And let's continue with that behavior that, okay, I don't, you know, not to go back into our old ways. It's just like, if I find gold, let me keep on polishing it. And that's just the comment that I wanted to make. Thank you so much. I'll take your answer offline, off the radio. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Nelson, I'm so glad you called in with that observation and with that encouragement. I think you're absolutely right. You know, we often think of the penances we do as Lent. Okay, now it's over. Let's get back to our normal routines. But hopefully some of those penances, like detoxifying from social media, limiting the amount of time we spend on social media, things like that, we'll find out they were a good habit. Because we were overcoming, let's say, something that was becoming a bad habit, and we were taking on a good habit. And so I think you're absolutely right. It's wonderful when people have a good experience during Lent that leads them to new and better habits. Another one that I've heard people mention is, you know, they like to, during Lent, go to the celebration of a weekday masses. And what they discovered is, well, you know, that was so important for my spiritual life. I'm going to continue doing that extra prayer in my life. And that's part of leading, I think, the risen life. Through Lent, the idea is we experience a conversion. We turn from things that are obstacles to our knowing Jesus in a deeper way and turning toward him. And so I just am so happy you called in with that observation, Nelson, because I'm hoping that many people who took on certain penances that became positive habits, that they will continue with them during Easter and into the entire year until next Lent as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And Nelson, I want to thank you too, because I think that's a great encouragement that we might actually, if we take the time to do a little bit of evaluation and prayerfully consider what penances we might take on at the beginning of the season of Lent, maybe this is another invitation, right, to do just what Nelson was saying, just to do another prayerful consideration of, well, okay, which of these penances can I just keep going with?
Right. And to see it as not so much a penance, but as a reordering of my life.
Right.
To say, okay, you know, I was spending too much time scrolling through YouTube videos or other social media, and I found that when I use that time to read a spiritual book, to read about the life of a saint, or to pray a rosary, I found that my life was more peaceful. And that's where I think substituting good habits for ones that maybe were beginning to take us away from God is a good way of looking at it, not even as a penance, but as just developing habits that are better than the ones we had.
Yeah, yeah. And in so doing, aren't we partaking even more of that abundant life that Christ has come to bring us?
That's right. You know, he wants, as he said, you know, I came to bring life. I came to give you peace, a peace that the world cannot give. And it's through his resurrection and the hope that he gives us that we can find greater peace. And so to focus on that rather than on those things that agitate us and disturb us. And, you know, it's one of those areas that I feel very strongly about, that some of us spend too much time scrolling through the news on our devices or watching 24/7 breaking news on TV or whatever it may be, things that take away our peace and agitate us. And the risen Lord, you know, comes to bring new life and to bring us a peace that the world cannot give. So why spend so much time with worldly things when the Lord wants us to rest in his peace?
Amen to that. Talking today about ways to celebrate the resurrection. If you had ways that you gathered and celebrated yesterday on Easter Sunday, or if you have ways of thinking about how you might continue to celebrate the Easter season, give us a call and join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Number again is 888-914-9149. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. We did, Father, receive a nice email from Jen, who's listening in Los Angeles. She said, thank you. I needed to hear this conversation. She says, it's sometimes hard to reconcile how I truly and genuinely celebrate his resurrection when I struggle with the sin that is always before me. And then she writes this, and I think this is really insightful. I do not want to stay in the tomb. So when you were talking about that kind of self-absorption of, you know, really reflecting only on our own tendencies to sin, our own failures, our own sins, that's, in a way, that's staying in the tomb, is it not?
It sure is. And, you know, I think it's a temptation that we all face. And I think it's part of one of the effects of original sin is to get us turned in on ourselves. I always like to point to the fact that in Genesis chapter 3, after the original sin, Adam, when the Lord says, "Where are you, Adam? It's time for us to take our daily walk in the breezy time of the day." And
right.
And Adam says, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. It was me, 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 all about him. And he had just turned in on himself through his sin. And the Lord was calling him to look at him and to walk with him in the garden. So I think Jen's email is great for us. It's another way of remembering that the tomb that Jesus doesn't want us to go into is often the tomb of ourselves, where we get focused on ourselves, because our tendency really is, I like to use the example, you know, are we half empty or half full? And our tendency is to look at what we don't have or to look at the negative in our lives. And this is where I think a very important aspect of the Easter season and the resurrection of Jesus is gratitude. You know, to look at Jesus and the faith he's given us and the Holy Spirit and the Eucharist, and to be grateful. And in that way, it instills in us a greater joy when we turn away from ourselves and look at him.
Yeah, absolutely. And that whole word gratitude there, that seems to me like being a very practical way of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus throughout the Easter season and beyond, right? Of adopting more and more a spirit of gratitude. And what are some practical things that we might do to help develop the gratitude in our lives, Father?
Well, I think just every day, you know, St. Ignatius encouraged people to do a daily review, a daily examine. And it was more than simply examining where was I falling today? Where was my weakness? How did I sin today? It begins with an aspect of gratitude, to begin first with looking at how the Lord has blessed me and what gifts I have this day. And in that sense, we don't take anything for granted. You know, he gets real practical. He invites us to look at the gift of the warmth that we have in a hot shower. I know many of our listeners may have been doing Exodus 90 during Lent, and part of that is to take cold showers as
right.
a penance. I'm sure that hot shower feels really good now, and
yeah.
it should make us more appreciative, more grateful. So all the many little things that we have in life can help us overcome some of that negative thinking that we are so often prone to, and can help us then make the next step to be more aware of the great gifts we have through our faith and through the sacraments.
And it occurs to me, Father, that when I encounter somebody who's truly grateful, that, I mean, if they just exude a spirit of gratitude, and that's you know, you can see it coming out of them, it's really, really difficult to remain kind of morose or, you know, despondent or, you know, in kind of a, because it seems like they have this joy about them, about, you know, all the things that they have been blessed with. They see it, and whereas many of us probably take it for granted.
Exactly. And, you know, no one likes to be around somebody who's morose and negative and always complaining. You know, I think for me, one of the greatest examples of Easter joy is St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, who, you know, the letters that appeared after she wrote and her journals all indicated that she really struggled with a feeling of abandonment, that God wasn't there. It was a real darkness. And yet she always put on a smile. She wondered if she was being duplicitous, if she was being deceitful by putting on a smile when she felt differently. But that's where I think she was exercising Easter joy and Easter hope, basically saying, I believe, Lord, that you did rise from the dead. And while I don't feel that at the moment, I'm not going to let that show on my face, because the people in my life don't need me coming to them with a big frown. They need me to bring them the joy that you give me when I make an act of faith, hope, and love in you.
Mm-hmm. And joy is definitely one of the hallmarks of the Christian life, but especially here during the Easter season, as we're talking about celebrating the resurrection today. What joyful ways did you celebrate the resurrection with your family or with your loved ones yesterday on Easter Sunday? And maybe what ways do you continue that throughout the Easter season? That's what we're talking about today with our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki. Feel free to give us a phone call and join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. More with the conversation with Father James Kubicki coming up right after this short break. We'll be right back. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program, while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio. My name is Patrick Conley. My thanks to Nick Sentovich, our producer, and Thomas Engesser on the phones for us today. Our spiritual director is Father James Kubicki, well-known voice here on the Relevant Radio airwaves, and also speaking about specifically celebrating the resurrection. What ways did you celebrate Easter Sunday yesterday, and how are you continuing that throughout the Easter season? Give us a call at 888-914-9149 and share it with us. Encourage and inspire others to living out the resurrection each and every day of this Easter season and beyond. Well, Father Kubicki, we are grateful for your joining us today. And we talked about gratitude as being one of those things that leads us perhaps into a greater sense of Easter joy. What are other things? I mean, how might we cultivate joy? Because it seems like especially, I mean, let's be honest, there people have undergone sufferings and hardships, maybe not just the self-imposed, you know, penances of the season of Lent. But some very tragic things have happened in people's lives throughout the season of Lent and even carrying on into this great season of Easter. So how might we still be joyful even in the face of these sufferings?
Well, that's, again, I like your choice of words there, Patrick, to say, how do we cultivate joy or how do we cultivate hope? I think it is a matter of cultivating, you know, it comes from a word regarding planting and sowing seeds and plowing. And so there's some work involved. It's not something that comes easily. It's not simply a feeling, but it's something that we have to work at. And so I think part of it is gratitude, you know, looking every day at how God has blessed us. But in particular, during this Easter season, to be aware of that gift of the resurrection. I think one of the things I love during the Easter season is the fact that we go through the Acts of the Apostles in the first reading at Mass on weekdays, as well as on Sunday. And when we read the Acts of the Apostles, we're reading the story of the early church and how the Holy Spirit was at work and active and alive. And to read those stories with a perspective of, yes, the Lord wants to be active and alive today in my life. And even though the apostles experienced imprisonment and persecution and some suffering, they still cultivated hope and joy because of the resurrection. They wanted everybody to know that death and sin were not the end of the human story, but that Jesus had risen and was alive and active in the world through his Holy Spirit. So I think part of it is being aware of those readings that we get, but also I would say, Patrick, throughout the year, to see every Sunday as a little Easter.
Yeah.
You know, some years ago, back around the turn of the millennium in the year 2000, I had spent about 7 months in a Ukrainian Byzantine Catholic monastery on the shores of Lake Superior, way up in the Keweenaw Peninsula of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And we celebrated a very strict Lent with fasting, and then we celebrated Easter. But every Sunday, it was so clear in the celebration of the Eastern churches that every Sunday was a little Easter, where we remembered the resurrection very explicitly. And all of us are called to do that. It's our Christian Sabbath. And so every Sunday should be a day that we remember Christ's resurrection. Plus, you know, the morning prayer of the church is a reminder that with the dawn, we should be thinking about Christ, the light, coming into the world, the resurrection. So in a morning prayer, as dawn takes away the darkness, we should be mindful of Christ's resurrection at that moment too. So there's little ways that we can, practically speaking, I think, be mindful of the resurrection throughout the day and throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up morning prayer as well, Father, because one of the things it always strikes me in the Easter season especially, and I try to carry that on throughout the year too, but when we're closing off the liturgy of the hours, or when we hear the collect at Mass, you know, it always ends something along the lines of, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. But that word lives just hits me every time during the Easter season. Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives. He lives. And that's one of the things that just that sometimes just captures me and reminds me that, yes, that our Lord is alive.
Right. And, you know, so much of our lives, I think we end up going through the motions, because the elements of our faith and our worship can become such a routine and such a habit. So, you know, another way that we really remember Christ's resurrection is every time we enter the church and we dip our fingers into the holy water and make the sign of the cross, we're reminding ourselves of our baptism and how with Christ we died with Christ and we rose with Christ. So to be mindful of our baptism whenever we make the sign of the cross with holy water is another way that we keep the resurrection alive in our thoughts. And it's become more and more, I think, something that I've been aware of and try to preach and give parish missions about, is let's not get into the habits and routines that make us forget what we're celebrating. And so, especially as we begin this Easter octave now and the 50-day Easter season, I really hope all of us can be much more mindful of what we're celebrating and how this is not just something that we do once a year, but it should be part of our daily lives.
Absolutely. And as you were saying that, Father, I was thinking, well, yeah, and that's something that we can avail ourselves of, even not just in the times of coming to Mass, be that Sunday Mass or daily Mass or whatever it is, but, you know, thanks be to God, many of our parish churches are unlocked during the day, so we can stop in, and especially as they may be still decorated for Easter, our churches, our adoration chapels, things like that, there's this opportunity to come and spend a bit of time with our resurrected Lord in the beauty of perhaps an altar surrounded by Easter lilies and other kind of flowers and that sort of thing, too, that there's this element of it that is very visceral. I mean, it's very physical that we see that, and there's something to that, isn't there, to spending time with our Lord in those special sanctified places.
That's right. And, you know, especially Eucharistic adoration, I think, is a way that we remember, you know, that he at the Last Supper said he had to go, because he was going to send the Holy Spirit, but that he also promised, and this is the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, it says, I will be with you always to the end of the age, till the end of time. So while he left in order to return to the right hand of the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit, and he remains with us in the Holy Eucharist. So that is the risen Lord present when we go into the church and enter into his presence in the Blessed Sacrament. But, you know, another way, I think, is having the domestic church, you know, that each of our homes is a little church itself. And so, again, I encourage our listeners, if you don't have a little holy water fount in your church, in your domestic church, in your home, it's a good idea to have some holy water and a little font so that as people come and go, you make the sign of the cross, going out into the world, returning. You know, our Jewish brothers and sisters have the mezuzah, I think it's called. It's a little scroll that they place at the doorway, and they touch it and remind themselves, the Lord is God, the Lord alone. And so with a little holy water font, we remind ourselves, I am a baptized Christian, and I am going out into the world being Christ's living presence. He's present through his body. I'm a member of his body, the church, and I go forth. And then to return and to bless ourselves as we come back, grateful for how the Lord has been with us during our day. Those are other ways that we keep this sense of the resurrected presence of Christ in our lives alive.
I love that suggestion, Father. Really good that we can and should do that as a part of our daily practice of just being at home and yet realizing and remembering the promises of Christ in our baptism and sharing in the joy of his resurrection. Going back to the Eucharist for just a moment, Father, since we've talked about that throughout the show, how would you say receiving the Eucharist is a foretaste of the joy of heaven and the resurrected life that is promised to us?
Okay, well, in heaven, we believe we will be one with God forever, you know, that we're made for union with God. And that union begins right here on earth, where Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, unites himself to us, his flesh with our flesh. And so in that sense, it's a foretaste of heaven. It's the beginning of our union with God. In heaven, the union won't be, let's say, interrupted in any way. Here on earth, we receive him, and then we go forth, and we enter into the world. And you could say our union with him is in a little way interrupted, or we're not conscious of that. And so it's a foretaste of what God wants for us forever. The other aspect of the Eucharist as a foretaste of heaven is that, and this is from one of the early documents of the church, the Didache, it says that as the grains of wheat were brought together and became one bread or one host, so, you know, we from all around the world are parts of the body, and we are brought together in the Eucharist. And so a foretaste of the communion of saints when we will be reunited with our loved ones who've gone before us, who have died, reunited or united with the saints of all times. That we receive a foretaste of in the Eucharist as well, when we remind ourselves that all those who have received the body and blood of Christ throughout the ages and are now with him in the glory of heaven, that they share with us in this communion of saints here on earth, and it will again reach its complete fulfillment in the communion of saints in heaven, where we will never have to say goodbye to another person and where we will not have any enemies. St. Augustine said, in heaven we will never lose a friend and we will have no enemies.
What a promise and what a delight. And specifically, I think when it comes to the Eucharist itself, and we've been given so many ways to encounter that with fresh eyes, I think, as well. For those of us who attended an Easter vigil where new people were brought into the church, either through baptism or through reception, you know, we've got to experience them receiving their first Holy Communion. And for many of our parishes too, we've got the first communion of our little ones coming up here in the next few weeks, still definitely within the Easter season. And it seems to me like that is it's just another invitation of the Lord, rather than saying, oh, well, Mass is going to be so much longer, I think I'll go to the anticipatory Mass, or, you know, I'll skip that one. Maybe there's an invitation there to say, no, let's go to the First Communion Mass specifically so we can see again what it's like, and remembering how, yes, this is such a gift to us, all of us.
Yeah. That's another element, going back to something you said earlier, Patrick. It's another element of the wow factor.
Yeah.
You know, that to see those little ones receive for the first time, and to maybe remember our own first communions, it can, again, helps us keep the faith fresh and alive in our minds.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And as long as we're talking about the Eucharist, let me just throw in there, of course, this is a year of the Eucharistic Revival and the National Eucharistic Congress, and we would love for you to join us. The whole Relevant Radio family is going to be there, so we'd love for you to join us this July in Indianapolis for the National Eucharistic Congress. You can find out from travel packages put together for us by Nativity Pilgrimage by going to relevantradio.com/travel. Join us, and let's all show up for Jesus together there. Well, Father Kubicki, this has been a fascinating conversation. Grateful for all of your wisdom and insight as always. If you would, we'd like to close the show with your blessing, please.
I'd be very happy to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who shared our life and now wants to share risen life with us. Help us to experience that each day and to never take for granted the love you have for us revealed in the resurrection of your Son. And may the blessing of Almighty God come upon our listeners and all our friends and family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, if you missed any part of the program, or if you are looking for new ways to celebrate the Easter season, go back and listen again at relevantradio.com/innerlife, where you can find links to all of our past programs and share them with your family and friends. Coming up next is our Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Today, our celebrant is Father Edward Looney, so stay tuned for that. Tomorrow on the program, the Theological Virtues with Father John Paul Erickson. Until then, grace and peace.